Good morning. I trust everyone is doing well this morning. We're now on, I guess, our fourth week of not being able to meet together, but I know God is faithful to us. He's been proving himself faithful. He's been, I know, continuing to speak to each one of us and encourage us by phone calls and texts and online communications. You know, the scripture talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And I think throughout all this, we've probably got a renewed appreciation for what he's talking about, for how what a precious and wonderful thing it is and how important it is to get together, the fellowship there, the strength that we get from that. I just have a renewed appreciation for it. And I know all of us are looking forward to the time when we can meet together again, worship together. But, you know, the same God in the on the mountain is God in the valley. And he is still continuing to speak to us and encourage us. And I just had a small, brief thought, just wanted to share. And, you know, we're just trying to let the Lord guide us through this unusual time. The scripture talks about, you know, going ways we've never gone before. And this is certainly a way we've never been before. But, you know, we're just asking the Lord to lead us and guide us. And so he'll continue to show us what we need to do as we look to him. And I just had a couple of brief thoughts I just wanted to share this morning. I was thinking about, you know, thinking back to Noah, about the time he lived in and what was going on in his day. And, you know, I was thinking about from the time that God originally talked to Noah and told him about building the ark to the time that the flood actually came was many decades. Of course, we know it was 120 years from the time God had pronounced this judgment until the flood. I think it was probably sometime after that he actually spoke to Noah. If we look at the scriptures, it's probably closer to 75 years or something like that that he actually had to work on the ark. But regardless of the exact time frame, it was several decades that he had to work on the ark. And I was thinking about during that time, you know, obviously that was a huge project. It was an enormous vessel. And the Bible doesn't give us a lot of details about what happened, you know, how all they worked on it, what the mechanics of it were. I don't know if they, you know, hired help to work on it or what, but it was obviously a big project, went on for a long time. But, you know, at the same time, regular life was still going on during that time too. I'm sure they didn't work on the ark nonstop, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm sure there were days that they didn't work on it. There were, you know, things that they did, regular life. We know Noah's children got married during that time. So there was, in some sense, a normal life going on. But there was always behind that the sense of what the big picture was, of what kind of time period they were living in, even though, you know, it's in some ways it seemed like just normal, same as what it had always been. You know, and I was just thinking, all of us, it can be a challenging time for Christians when we have just sort of normal everyday life. You know, we can focus on something for a short period of time. If something comes up, we can really give it an intense focus. But, you know, we're very driven by our senses as human beings. And if our senses don't perceive something, you know, some unusual thing, you know, as the days start to stretch into weeks and weeks into months and months into years with seemingly nothing happening, you know, it's very difficult for us to maintain an intense focus and intensity. We're just creatures of habit and routine. And when we don't see anything like that, we tend to just let our guard down, relax, sort of get used to things. We settle into a pattern and we don't always have the kind of focus that we, you know, that we maybe set out to do something with. But, you know, I was thinking of that for them. You know, I'm sure that they had some of those feelings and struggles and some of those same things, you know, after working on the ark for decades and having seen no evidence of this coming flood. There were probably times they wondered what they were doing, you know, but their focus was always on what God had said and what was coming. And their life in this present world was affected by what they knew was coming, the big picture. You know, I was just thinking about Noah. If there had been, you know, a stock market in his day, what sense would it have made for him to be, you know, heavily invested in the stock market or worried about being involved in great building projects or, you know, trying to make a name for himself and make a legacy for himself? Because he knew from what God had told him that there wasn't going to come a time where all of that was going to be gone. That was going to be completely destroyed. And so the way that they lived, even though there was normal life in a sense, it was still governed by this other sense that there's more going on here than what we can see and what we can perceive. And that's what they were truly living for. That's what their lives were invested in, despite the normal everyday things of life being a part of it too. That's not what they were living for. And I just thought about, you know, I was thinking about the parallels that has for us. And you know, I know with us it's a little different today because God hasn't specifically declared an end to all life like he did, you know, in that day. In fact, he promised after the flood that there wouldn't be another event like that. He said in Genesis 8 in verse 21 and 22, he said, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." So, you know we have a promise from God where the world's not going to be devastated on that kind of scale again. But, you know, that doesn't mean that other large-scale things can't happen, as we're seeing right now with this global pandemic. So while, yes, the world's not going to end in the sense it did in Noah's day, you know, not until the Lord comes back, of course, to get us. But, you know, so it might make more sense for us to, you know, have a 401k or do other things, plan for the future, plan financially. But even so, I think this these circumstances are, to me at least, a fresh reminder that we don't ever want to get so focused on the, you know, on everyday life in this world that we lose sight of the world we're living in and what its future is. And not just that, but what is our purpose here in the meantime? As Noah, you know, he didn't just wasn't just building the ark. He was also spreading the message about the need for the ark. He was inviting people to come and be saved on the ark. And he was, you know, getting that word out. So it wasn't about just him and his family surviving. It was about God's hand reaching out through him to others. And all these things, you know, to me, with what's going on right now, it's been a fresh reminder of our purpose in this world. The fact is, we are living in a very similar type of time. We know that, yes, God won't destroy the world with a flood again. He said that, but he is coming again. And there is an end to this world and everything in it. And we have the privilege today of being in that place that Noah was in, of giving that message. It's not today that we're not building an ark. We're not building the means of safety. Thank God our means of safety has been provided. It's through Jesus Christ. But it's that message that we have the privilege to spread. And, you know, so in the meantime, God's working for good in us. And, you know, he wants to use us to help others. You know, we know God's promise to work all things together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Whether the things themselves are good or bad, he can and will work them for good. I certainly don't think anybody would call this, you know, virus that's going around a good thing, but yet God can use it for good because that's what he's promised to do. Just helping us to see, you know, through this time of upheaval, causing us to remember how uncertain this world is and just how vain it would be to put our hope and our trust in this world system and its resources. And to, you know, to use this as a wake-up call for those who need to know him, who need to come to know him. I was actually thinking about this scripture. It's a very familiar scripture in Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5. He says, "This is what the Lord said. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." You know, I was wondering, with all the things that are going on right now, how many people are feeling like that bush in the wastelands? How many people have had their confidence in this? How many people in this world, you know, had their confidence in the economy, which was going very well, the low unemployment numbers, the high stock market, all of the industries? Think about all the industries that have been shut down and just the hundreds of billions of dollars that have been lost, sports figures and all the sporting events being shut down, movies being postponed, all of the entertainment industries, the theme parks and cruise lines and all of the different things, all the businesses that are closed now, what I guess they consider the non-essential businesses that are more or less shut down. You know, I imagine there's a lot of people in this world right now feeling like that bush in the wasteland and whose confidence is shaken. What they trusted in has let them down. But, you know, God has promised that there's another way for us to live. We can be like that tree planted by the water that's got another source. And when heat comes, we don't have to fear when these kind of circumstances come. But what really caught my attention about this scripture is that very last sentence that's there where it says, "It never fails to bear fruit." You know, just like what he's describing with that kind of tree, even when these unusual circumstances come, because there's something to draw from, we can not just survive, but continue to bear fruit and have something to offer others who need hope, who need life. You know, that is what God wants us to be able to tap into his life so that there's something there to offer others. And I thought about another scripture kind of in the same vein, something that Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 17. He wrote to Timothy, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain." Well, there's a lot of people right now that are finding out just how uncertain wealth in this world is and how that can't be depended on. But he goes on here and says, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You know, that's what I believe God wants us to see in this is what we're doing here, what we need to be focused on here is not just about the things here, but it's about that coming age. That's what he was cautioning these people here to do, people who had money in this world. Instead, lay up treasure as a foundation for the coming age. Don't be focused on this life, but think about what's coming so that you can lay hold of the life that is truly life. And that's what really jumped out at me. You know, God's desire through all this is not to harm us, but to bring us closer to him and to help us to have more of his life. In John 10, Jesus said that he had come that we might have life and have it to the fullest possible measure. You know, that's what's life, that's truly life, not being abundant in the everyday things of this world that we get wrapped up in so easy. That's not really life. That's why that phrase is so interesting. He said, take hold of the life that is truly life. There's a life in this world, and to a certain degree, we have to live it. We have to be a part of it. You know, we have to make a living. We have to survive in this world, but that's not truly life. The real life is his life living in us and being expressed through us. And, you know, that's what, you know, right now, Jesus wants to lead us through this time and at all times, really, into more and more of God's life, because that's what we're here for, not to live our own lives, but to be vessels through which he can flow out to others at a time of need and show them that there is something you can put your trust in, and it won't let you down. If you're trusting in riches, if you're trusting in this world, well, just like the scripture we read, if you're putting your trust in man and leaning on that, leaning on this world system, you're living under a curse, whether you realize it or not, because there's nothing there that can sustain you. It's all very, very fragile. It's very uncertain. But there is a life that is truly life. And I just believe that God is working during this time to cause people to feel their need of that. I'm certainly praying to that end. I know many of us are, that God would use this to reach people's hearts. Because, you know, just like with Noah, same thing with us. Regular life is going to happen, and those things have their place. But I just think right now God wants to remind us not to be spending the energy of our lives mostly or entirely on things that don't matter in the long run. You know, that ark in Noah's day, it saved him and his family from the coming judgment. But today, that ark of safety is not a boat. It's not a structure. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. He's the ark of safety. And thank God we don't have to provide that. That's been provided. And that's what will save us, not only from the future judgment that's coming on this world, but from everything that comes our way in the journey. And right now, we need to be, being able to share that message of hope, share that message to others who need something that they can put their trust in that won't let them down. I just, you know, those thinking the world right now, it's sort of like you hear people talk, and it seems like there's this sense that people have of sort of being in a holding pattern, just waiting for things to, quote, get back to normal, you know. But we're not just in a holding pattern right now. God is active and working during this time. And, you know, we can not just survive and get through this, but actually grow during it and continue to bear fruit as he gives us opportunity and continue to learn more about his life and take a deeper hold of his life. And when these things end, when this circumstance, we do come out the other side, instead of just getting back to normal, we can have a new normal. That for us, for those that know him, there'll be a deeper trust, a deeper confidence in him, more of his life. But also for those that don't know him, that there would be a new normal in their lives. And after realizing their need, that God will give opportunity, give the word, shine the light on their path that they need to see that there is another way. There is something that we can live for, and there is life that is truly life. You know, sometimes it takes God taking all the props away, taking all the support away for people to realize that they've been building on sand. You know, the scripture talks about that. People who build their house instead of on a rock, they build it on sand. And so long as there's no storm, you can't tell the difference between a house that's built on the sand and built on the rock. But as the rivers rise, the floods rage, and the storms come and beat on the house, that's when you find out if it's built on the sand, it just collapses. There's nothing there. And, you know, only God knows how he's working through this, but I'm just believing him to continue to give us as his people opportunity to share the word. I'm thankful for the ways we can still communicate and encourage one another and build one another up. That's important for us to serve one another, but also praying that he will just continue to give us opportunity to share his light, to lift up his name, to lead us to prepared hearts that he's been working in. I know that he is at work. You know, Jesus talked about that. He talked about how he didn't do anything of his own accord, but he worked in accordance with the Father. He saw what the Father was doing, and he worked to that same purpose so that the Father could work through him. And that's our privilege, too, is to see how God is working and to be encouraged ourselves. You know, obviously, we can't be a help to anyone else if we're discouraged and upset and, you know, anxious. And I believe he wants us to have his peace, his life, and his rest so that we can then take that and share it with others. Yeah, I just, you know, I was just thinking about, just had those thoughts today. Just wanted to share that, you know, that no matter what the time we live in, the same God is faithful. The same God who was faithful to Noah, who gave him everything he needed to do, provided everything he needed. You know, that same God's with us today, and he's leading us, and he's going to help us and be with us. But my heart this morning was just to, Lord, help us to not be wrapped up in the things of this world. Lord, use this as an opportunity to show us just how pointless it is to live for the things of this life, and that we have to live life, we have to go through these things, you know, we're involved in certain things, but Lord, help us to not make that what our life is about, and use us, Lord, to reach others. I just thank him today for his faithfulness. I thank him for his promises. Really looking forward to the time when we can all meet together again face to face. I know that God's going to be with us until then, and so just praying for each one of you, praying for God's people, just trusting him through this time. So love and appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.